This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 23rd, episode 920, brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
United States Coast Guard.
Well, we want to wish everybody an early happy Memorial Day. Just a little brief synopsis, I guess. You know, I think some people can get Veterans Day and Memorial Day confused. Veterans Day is when we honor all of our military, and Memorial Day is when we honor all of our military that has died while in the military service. So all Americans that have died while in any war, any military service, any anything, this is the day that we honor them and remember them. So I just hope everybody takes a moment to thank those who made this country as great as it did on Monday and do something fun. I'm pretty sure my husband will be golfing that day. So he's honoring himself. by hitting the links and leaving me at home alone again. Hopefully he'll be home by then. My God.
I think there's no better time than Memorial Day for baby Luke to learn to play golf. What do you think, Jamie?
I think he could drive the cart at least.
Absolutely.
I that think he could be a good ball retriever, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Go find that ball, buddy.
Yeah. I just hit the ball in the lake. Go get it, baby Luke. Here.
Yep. That's what we're going to do. Oh, well, he's going to supposedly be home tomorrow. He did let me know that potentially they have some issues with some of the jets up in Alaska, and some people might not make it home on Saturday. And I was like, you better be on that plane home. And he's like, well, it's not really my choice. I'm like, I don't care. Kill somebody. Just be on that plane. So if you haven't noticed, we do have the baby Luke is awake, wide awake at 6 a.m. It's been a thing. He's been waking up at 6 a.m. It does not matter what time. I tried to keep him up last night to like 9:30. I was the worst mom. I'm like, I will keep you up late at night so you sleep late. It doesn't work. It's just so bright here at 6 a.m. And
then when he's 12, he'll be wanting to stay up late. And he'll be going, go to bed.
Go to bed. Good times. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. Following the most recent installment of You Can't Make This Stuff Up Adventures from Jamie, we catch up with eventer Jill Henneberg, who you may remember from her amazing performance at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. And then really bad ads send us off into the weekend with visions of bad trailers dancing in our heads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to a listener by the name of Charlotte Bathelon. She is from Vermont, and she posted a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And by the way, there were a lot of posts yesterday from listeners. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. But she posted she has a new saying that she found on a sign up her way. She took a picture of it, and she posted it. And it's a new saying for the end of the show, Jamie, because you normally say what?
Spay, neuter, and geld.
This sign would like you to change that to please neuter your pets and weird friends and relatives. So I think that's a show every day, thanks to Charlotte. Came up with that. So, yes, please neuter your pets and weird friends and relatives.
Yes, there's a long list.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Well, I have two, Glenn, and my first one goes to everybody that is psychotic enough to compete at the Coconino Horse Trials this weekend. There is a big, big, big fire up in the Sedona, Flagstaff area, and apparently they almost canceled the Coconino Horse Trials. And I have seen some people that one girl said she got off the trailer, smelled the smoke, about choked, and got back on the trailer. So they are working really hard to make sure it's going to be safe. But to me, one of my friends already said she's not going to go because, whether it's smoke or fire or just whatever, you can potentially be in a dangerous situation. So best of luck to everybody who does go ahead and compete.
Well, the smoke, and it's an acrid smell when you have brush and forest fires like that. Because I know we smell them occasionally here in Florida, and you couldn't breathe. I don't know how you do cross country.
No, I don't know either.
It's pretty thick.
I think they're monitoring wind changes and all that kind of stuff. To me, it's I don't know. It's hard enough to compete up there with the Jetster. I can't imagine doing it with some sort of breathe. Maybe that would slow him down a little bit.
He could breathe.
He couldn't breathe.
Is there a thing, how we talk about the flare nasal strips opening up passageways? Is there one that closes them?
Oh, that'd be worth investing in. All right. My next one, Glenn.
Oh, you have another? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's a homecoming week because my husband returns potentially tomorrow, and my boyfriend returned home on Wednesday. Yes, Wise Dan. Wise Dan two-time Horse of the Year, made his way out of Rude and Riddle on Wednesday. It was after the show, so I didn't get to talk about it. He went to Forest Lane Farm. It's very close to Rude and Riddle, and he looks amazing. He just looks amazing. And what I've read is trainer Charlie Lopresti says he hasn't lost a bit of conditioning. He never spiked a fever, which is just amazing. I mean, he's just an incredible horse. So welcome home, Rottweise Dan. They're already talking about getting him back into training. Of course, they'll only do the things that are most beneficial to Wise Dan, but we wish him the best of luck. We love you.
Speaking of champion racehorses, we have a fun list we're going to do for you here in a minute. It's the seven things you didn't know about California Chrome and California Chrome's connections, and there's a lot of fun stuff in there. We're going to get to that in a minute. First, I wanted to let you know that Monday we are off. There will be no show at all on Monday, but we'll be back live on Tuesday. And you had a post yesterday, and you were very cryptic, because all you said was, let me look it up here. I want to get the wording exactly right, because that's important with your post. It says, what a day, dot, 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 can I have a corona yet? And when I first read that, I thought you said cornea, and I was going, what are she talking about? But no, it said corona, so what happened?
Well, I noticed that it was only 1:15 in the afternoon when I posted that. That's how my day was yesterday. Just starting out, just had so many things going on. And I had the vet here yesterday morning. I had people working in the house. I had the vet here. And I gave all my horses, they all got rabies shots yesterday. Because the bats in my area, you just want to be careful. So I decide I'm going to give them all the rabies shot this year. I don't think I did it last year. Well, I know I didn't. So the vet leaves. I go inside. I've got the baby. I've got people working in the house. I've got the baby trying to nap. The vet comes at 9. The baby goes down at usually 8:45. So I've got this baby trying to nap him, keep him in a separate room because there's people working and blah, blah, blah. So I run to the grocery store after the vet leaves. I come home and Duke, my big old buckskin that I got from listener Betty Faye, was laying down in a stall, and he was cast. It's like, crap.
Uh-oh.
So I go, he's very sensible. So I go and I put a halter on him, and we, like, work together as a team while the baby's sitting in the backyard by himself. He's just playing around in the yard, whatever. So I go and I get him unstuck. So fortunately, he was very sensible. We just kind of rocked back and forth. I'm like, by myself, I've got a horse cast. Great. So we get him up. I go in, and I realize in the backyard, Lucas is sitting in a bed of ants. And he starts screaming. And it's just that time of year where they start to emerge. And
fire
so they were just black, but they were biting him because there was already welts. So I go to pick him up, and I get ants all over my arms and stuff, and I'm brushing him off, and I'm just sitting there taking it, you know, and I finally get all of them off him, I brush him off me. Like, we got to go take a shower. So we run in, we get in the shower. I come out, Duke is laying down again. And I thought, well, maybe he's tired, you know, from his little cast episode. Yeah, not so much. So I go, I let him out. He runs to the end of the pasture. When I turn him out just to let him walk around. He runs to the end of the pasture and lays down like he's been shot, like he's dead. I'm like,
oh, geez.
Duke just died. So I call the vet. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Have you ever had anything happen with the rabies? The only thing that's ever that he got was a rabies shot. They checked his teeth, blah, blah, nothing, no big deal. So I check him. I go out. He's colicking like you read about. Now, I've got a baby. The vet's like, just give him a shot of Bantamine and let's watch and we'll see what happens. So I give him a shot of Bantamine. But, of course, he's in the end of the pasture and I've got a baby who's been in fire ants. So I put the baby in the stroller. I go traipsing out all the way to the end of the pasture. Stand this horse up again, give him a shot, and he's still pawing and trying to lay down. I'm like, okay, flailing horse, baby in a stroller. I need to get this horse walking. So I put him on a lead rope. I've got the baby pushing the stroller, dragging a colicking horse as I'm walking around through my pasture.
Oh, my God. That must have been a sight for the neighbors.
Okay,
keep going.
Disaster. disaster. And so I walk in for like 20 minutes, and he starts to calm down a little bit. I'm like, I'm taking him to the front yard. I'm not allowed to graze horses in the front yard because that's Chad's little, like, you know, yard area, whatever. It's his horse. I go in the front yard. I start grazing him. I've got to put the baby down. So I fill up a little water pool, put the baby in the pool, and I'm leading the horse around, watching the baby, watching the horse. And so finally the shot kicks in nicely, and I am exhausted. I'm like, this is a disaster, and that is when I posted that time.
Did you have the corona, by the way?
You know what? I did. You bet I did. And even though everybody on there except for one person was like, do it. And the other person was like, I thought you quit drinking during the week. I'm like, shut up.
There are times for exceptions to every rule.
Exactly.
So is the baby okay? No fire ant damage, no permanent damage from the virus?
He's got some little welts on his arms, but, you know, and so I called Chad, and I'm like, the baby and I got into ants. He's like, is the baby okay? I'm like, yeah, and I'm fine, too. Thanks, jerk. Don't worry about me.
How long has it been since Chad's been gone?
4 years.
Seven things you didn't know about California Chrome. This was posted on a website called rgj.com. And they had some interesting things in here. I thought we knew it all after the, you know, 12 hours of programming that Jennifer watched before.
Right?
I thought NBC had covered every little angle about California Chrome and the connections, but apparently not, because I learned some things. Did you know that Chrome was also almost called Seabiscuit? Bisquick, yes, Seabiscuit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. When naming the now famous horse, each of the four co-owners, the Coburns and Denise and Perry Martin, put their favorite names in Steve Coburn's cowboy hat, which you see him with every time he's on TV, and had a waitress pick the winner at the diner they go to. The options were Lucky at Love, Carolyn Coburn's name, Big Chapter, California Chrome, and Seabiscuit. The waitress picked out California Chrome. Coburn wanted to call his horse Chrome, but that name was already registered, so he added the California, which is how the name California Chrome, and it is certainly better than Seabiscuit. How would you like to have a Triple Crown winner named Seabiscuit?
I love Seabiscuit. It's awesome.
Oh, God, you would.
California Chrome sounds so cool and so regal and so, ugh.
It's a little classier than Seabiscuit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is a little classier, yes.
You want to keep going, or you want to?
Well, the next thing was... Yeah, you go ahead. I'm going to go take care of this baby. I'll be back.
Okay. The whole thing began as a tax write-off. That's right. They convinced the government was taking too much of his money. Steve Coburn wanted a tax write-off, so he pitched his wife on buying a plane after she bought him flying lessons. Carolyn Coburn said no. He asked if he could buy a horse. No. But Carolyn allowed Steve to buy into a syndicate ownership, and they bought 5% of Love the Chase and the horse. The rest is now a well-told tale. So that it was because of a tax write-off that he ended up getting into the horse business, which I thought was interesting.
Love the Chase being California Crone's mama.
Yes. There's more about Love the Chase to come, too, in this little list. California Chrome has two sisters. This might not be the Coburn's only ride to national fame. California Chrome has two full sisters, a yearling, who they call Little Sis, and a suckling. I haven't heard the word suckling in a long time.
You don't see that much anymore, no?
No. I think it used to, you know, in the old days it was a term you heard all the time, but now, you know, it's a full, you know, so you don't hear suckling very much. Coburn believes the younger horse, the suckling, which was born on the last Super Bowl, could be special. I honestly believe those great bloodlines have carried into the sisters because they are nice-looking horses, especially this baby. This baby is put together like you wouldn't believe. California Chrome was 137 pounds when he was born. Little Sis was 117, and Baby was 125. Neither of the sisters have racing names yet, but I'm sure they'll put some names in a hat and come out with the next one. So... Yeah. Everything about these guys is just so normal and ordinary. So
cool. I love it, though, when racehorse folk say, oh, that foal weanling yearling is just gorgeous. You know, gorgeous has nothing to do with it. Really? You line up 35 adult stakes-winning horses, and 20 of them are going to be ugly as mud.
Right. And actually, I know this is kind of going to be sacrilegious, but California Chrome is not a pretty mover. I mean, his feet go – he's not the most graceful mover ever.
Well, I don't think California Chrome has been surgically enhanced.
Yeah, well, you can tell.
Yeah, right. He's got legs going every direction.
Yeah, it's like 4 feet and just going everywhere.
Yeah.
Chrome's dad was supposed to be Redditor. In 2009, Love the Chase was bred to Harris Farm stallion Redditor, but she did not get pregnant. Coburn and Martin wanted to try again with Redditor the next year, but he did not return from an off-season breeding stint in Brazil. So Love the Chase was mated to Lucky Pulpit. The result was Chrome, whose foaling was rough. Chrome dragged a hoof on his way out, causing Love the Chase to hemorrhage. She recovered and is the proud mama of the potential Triple Crown winner. So it was apparently a difficult birth, too.
Jeez.
As most superstars are, I guess. And then... This is a fun and interesting side note on Steve Coburn, who has certainly turned out to be the story of this whole thing. He was married 4 times before meeting his current wife, Carolyn. This is his 5th wife, who he calls my greatest gift. The Coburns met when Steve's nephew married Carolyn's daughter, and then they wed shortly after and have been married for 20 years. And Steve says, when you've been married 4 other times, when you get the 5th one right, it's like, thank God. You can just hear him saying that, too. And this is it. They moved from Bakersfield to Gardnerville, where they are now, 2 decades ago to escape the baggage from previous relationships. A lot of our listeners are saying right now that they moved from baggage from previous relationships, so they get that. They certainly understand that. But, yeah, he's been married 5 times. What do you think the other wives, I don't know if Jamie's back, what do you think the other wives are thinking now? Oh, man. Or are they thinking, what are they thinking?
I just, it made me think of that song, All My Exes Live in Texas. And that's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
Do you think they're all going, why didn't you make something of yourself while you were with me? Instead, you were a loser.
You know, exactly. You know what? My ex-boyfriend was a poker player. Stop yelling. Was a poker player. And after we broke up and I met Chad, he actually won like $750,000 in the World Poker Championships. Yeah, my brother was like, bad call, dude. I'm like, whatever. You know, so... It, to me, it didn't matter. I was like, I just feel sorry for the woman that has to deal with that. You know, he's gone playing poker all the time.
And you know what? They always lose it anyway. So, you know,
yeah,
750,000 here, 750,000 gone. No, a million gone. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you know that Carolyn, his wife, Coburn's wife, was the one that knew about horses. She taught her husband how to bet in the races. 33 years ago, she went on a junket to Santa Anita and thought she would be bored. Instead, she bet on the Daily Double, won $51, and she's been hooked ever since. And they both used to go out to the track on a regular basis and just bet. And apparently he's not experienced better. He just has a little fun with it. They both did have – he actually worked on a cattle ranch near the Nevada-California border when he was a younger guy. So – he was experienced with horses, having worked on a cattle ranch.
All my exes live in California.
Steve Coburn, last one. Steve Coburn refuses to buy a new truck. They've made mention of this on the shows, but I didn't know the whole backstory. His truck has 500,000 miles on it. And according to Carolyn, he refuses to buy a new one despite all the success and money that California Chrome has won over the past year. The truck actually isn't even drivable right now because he needs new brakes. The paint is chipping off, and he just says he doesn't want to upgrade because of his recent success. and he said he isn't going to retire for at least four more years when he turns 65. You know, I believe him, too. His partner was back at work during the other race. So,
five,
you know.
$5 says it's a, $5 says it's a Dodge. Cummings engine. Those things just keep going.
All right, Jennifer, you look that up. Steve Coburn's truck. What, is it a Dodge or a Ford? It's not a Chevy because our truck, we never had
Barring
a Chevy.
Barring minds want to know.
Yeah, so look that up. Find out whether that is. But isn't that some interesting details? This is just such an all-American story with ordinary people who have a horse that just turned out to be wonderful. I mean, it is an ordinary. It's just a terrific story.
He can't lose. He just can't lose. It just can't be possible.
I know. I know. I'm nervous already. It's 2 weeks away.
You know, I realize, like, I'm sure he appreciates the 3 weeks in between the races, but I do not. I am ready for this to happen tomorrow, and I think it's crap that I have to wait that long.
All about you, Jamie, isn't it? It's all about you.
Oh, you're the same way. It's all about all of us. We want to know. We want this to be, go for it. Come on.
That is true. That is true. I'm like, oh, man, that'll be a watch sporting event. I have the numbers, actually. NBC posted the numbers. They've announced the lineup for June 6th and 7th in conjunction with the Belmont. They're going to do 4:30 to 7 on the main channel, NBC. They're expanding their coverage a little bit. And the pre-show will start at 2:30 on one of the, you know, SNBC, whatever those odd sports stations they got. And then they're actually doing a show the day before, at 4 o'clock the day before. And they did say the ratings for the Preakness were the highest in, like, 5 years. And that was good because they had been dropping. So they ended up, the Preakness topped 9.5 million views for the second consecutive year. So they were very happy with their ratings, yeah. Which is why they're...
The Belmont is going to be massive. Massive.
You think it'll double that? Think it'll be 20 million?
Oh, I can't imagine it wouldn't be. I mean, you know, it's just, it's such a great story. It's Seabiscuit had 40 million people watching, and that was back in the 40s or whatever. So it's got to be.
Well, we'll find out coming up. Well, let's take a break for our advertiser for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're coming back. We're going to go back in time and find out what happened to an Olympic silver medalist who Jamie got to watch at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996, and her horse. We'll find out how they both are coming up in just a minute. But first, this word from Kentucky Performance Products.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium-to-phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
And you can find Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook as well. Just search for them, Kentucky Performance Products. They're always posting good nutritional information over there on their Facebook page. You know, there we occasionally like to take a look at history, and I've done some segments on history here as well. And, you know, there are these amazing horses and amazing people that you come across and in your lifetime. And sometimes you go, okay, you know, I remember them, and I remember them so well, and we've had a couple of them here on the show over the past. We have another one here today, and we're so excited to have her here. Her name is Jill Hennenberg. She was the U.S. team Olympic silver medalist in three-day eventing in 1996 in Atlanta. Jamie was there and saw that. And she's the youngest person ever selected for the U.S. Olympic three-day team. She's a three-time top 10 finisher at Rolex Kentucky. Had an amazing mare, that gray mare that she rode named Nirvana, and we're going to speak to her. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first I have to ask you about Nirvana. You know, the last I really saw, Horse Nation did an article on you about a year ago, and Nirvana was apparently happy in a pasture, and I don't know the story past that. So you have an update for us?
She still is. She's with some friends of mine over in Millwood, Virginia. They have a lovely little farm. And so she sort of babysits some of their, you know, racehorses that are either retired or are on, you know, vacation. And she sort of keeps them in line. And I'm actually in New Jersey right now on vacation. And I stopped, obviously, on the way to see her. And she just turned 29. And she looks fantastic. And she's just, you know, happy as could be.
Now, this is, she lives, did I read that she lives not too far from the O'Connors, who were your teammates on the 1996 Olympic team?
She did. She, and actually, I mean, she still lives quite close, but for several years I lived, I was training out of a farm right next to them. So actually, Nirvana and Biko and Gilt Edge were all living on the same road.
So,
you know, it's kind of interesting that three out of the four team horses were within a mile of each other.
Wow, that is amazing. And now this is a horse, Nirvana was a horse that you bought when you were pretty young. You were a young teenager, and it was a 600. We were just talking about the Coburns and California Chrome, you know, and what an amazing all-American story, you know, bred very cheap, and these guys are just ordinary people. Well, this was kind of the situation with this gray mare. You bought her for $600. She was an off-the-track thoroughbred, 3 years old. You, quote-unquote, grew up together, right?
Absolutely. I had been riding only for about 2 years, and it was just sort of about that time to start looking for a horse. You know, whether or not it was appropriate for somebody with my experience to go buying a three-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred is maybe
detail.
A little debatable.
Yes,
details.
But, you know, I didn't come from a ton of money, and so, you know, there was definitely a budget in place. And, it's very strange how sort of all the stars aligned when it came to getting her, because I'd seen her picture up at a tack shop. And she was at the farm that I very first started riding at. And so I knew everybody there. And so I talked my parents into bringing me there to go look at her. And all the people just, you know, went to my parents and said, "You cannot let your child buy that crazy horse." And, and so we actually had, like, my saddle and everything. And we were walking out to the car. And there was a woman there that was quite experienced, and she said, "I'll hop on her for you guys if you want to see her go. I mean, I'm not worried about it." And if it had not been for her saying that, I never would have bought her, because my parents were not going to let me on this horse. And the owner wouldn't ride her.
Oh, well, that's usually an indication.
Yeah,
that's
the bad sign.
So she had just been sort of hanging in a field since her last race, and so, yeah, I mean, I have to say, I don't even remember I know the woman's name was Nina, but I don't really, I didn't know her. I mean, it was just a very kind gesture of her to do. And, you know, I probably owe it all to her, really.
Wow. And that is a kind gesture. We have a song we play called Green and Green Makes Black and Blue, and it's meant for that, what you're just talking about, actually. That's, because these stories sometimes go wrong. Yours went right. And then you brought this mare up yourself all the way through the ranks and all the way up to Rolex and Olympic level. Did it seem, and I know you had a couple of, she had a surgery in there and everything, but at that point you were a teenager too. You were just growing up. So was this just a whirlwind? Did you feel like you missed part of your teenage years because of this whirlwind?
And I don't have a single regret. I have a student who's a young rider right now, and the Ocala CCI was the same weekend as her senior prom, and she made a very different decision than I would have. I mean, I missed my senior prom to go to the Essex Freedom, and there was no question. She wanted to go to her senior prom, and, I think that people need to do what really makes them happy and what is important to them, because regrets just are something you shouldn't have. I had other friends. I mean, I had a lot of good friends in high school, but I had lots of really great friends at the barn, and actually the people that are friends of mine from the barn that I grew up riding at are still really, really good friends of mine.
Yeah, and we all know how those high school friendships go. Do you talk to any of them anymore? Probably not. Not too many.
Not too many. Yep. There's very few. But one of the girls that I grew up riding with at the barn was my groom at the Olympics, and her sister ended up being a working student for me. And they own their own farm in New Jersey, and I've helped them out and gone there and talked clinics, and It's such a camaraderie with riders and horse people in general, and I think especially in the sport of eventing, we really do all look out for one another and sort of root each other on. And I don't miss it at all. I'm sure I don't think I missed anything. I think my parents were very thrilled that it kept me out of trouble. I think maybe they would have liked something a little less expensive to keep me out of trouble, but all in all, I think they're pretty happy with where my life has gone.
So, Jill, let me get this straight: a young teenage girl. I'm setting the mood. I wish I had some music. A young teenage girl finds a horse that nobody wanted, takes it off the racetrack, trains it herself, goes all the way up through the ranks, all the way to the Olympics, where she wins a medal. How many movie companies have come to you and said, we've got to do a movie about this? This is an amazing story.
King World had bought the rights to my story for a while. They were optioning it out. But I think it's sort of a story that has sort of been done, International Velvet and...
Yeah, this one's real. This one's true. Changes everything.
You know what, Jill, you have to tell us this. Every one of those stories has an antagonist. You have to have somebody to hate in a story, right? So who's the antagonist in this story? That's what we're missing here.
Oh, good point.
I don't think there's anyone to hate. Maybe that's why
it's
a problem. There's not enough drama.
You need to make it up.
That's such an awesome story. I can't believe I didn't know that. I mean, I was 18 when you went to the Olympics. I went to the Olympics too, only I went as a spectator and watched you ride. And obviously just so proud of everything you guys accomplished as a team. You're right. There's no one to hate because you worked your butt off and there's nobody that took you down because you – finished as a success story, and I'm so glad we got to talk to you. What are you doing now?
I don't compete very much anymore. Not to say that every once in a while I end up with a horse that inspires me a bit, but I really love teaching and coaching. It's just a thrill for me to really sort of be able to have the time to spend with students and go to shows and events with them. And I just get such a huge satisfaction out of them learning and doing well. And it's not always about the ribbons. It's just about the performance. And I teach quite a lot of clinics. I travel around and and do clinics. And, you know, I have several horses in for training at any given time. And so, you know, I mean, I think I've sort of found where I'm happiest doing horses at this stage of my life. And I do believe that, you know, when you do something for a living that's your passion, you do have to figure out what part about it drives you the most. Because it's not always the easiest way to make a living. And it can get fairly stressful at times. So, you know, for me, I live in Tallahassee, Florida. And I absolutely love it there as a personal place to live, which I also think is very important in life. And there are just great people there really, really wanting to learn and wanting to learn the sport of eventing. I think Red Hill sort of brought that on to the town of Tallahassee. And so, yeah, I mean, it's great. And I'm just having a blast.
You must make things a lot easier being a trainer in Tallahassee with having Red Hills there. You know, like, you guys want to go to school? Okay, let's go down the street, as opposed to having to drive all the way to Ocala or whatever to do that. So it must really have helped your business and kind of get everybody a little more excited about things.
I mean, there's definitely, I mean, Tallahassee supports Red Hills like nobody's business. I mean, it's a very community-oriented event.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, I've always been the type of instructor and coach, you know, whether or not you have huge aspirations or you want to go beginner novice for the rest of your life, I could care less as long as you want to learn. So I'm always open. I teach quite a lot of Pony Club and, you know, they're always surprised. I'm like, throw in the little kids with the crossrails. Are you kidding me? I'll have a blast with them.
Awesome.
You know, I think it's important to be, you know, when you're going to coach people, you have to be inspirational and you have to be a bit of a cheerleader for them. You know, it's very important as an instructor to, you know, to really
encourage
and, you know, feel like you guys are a part of a team together in the learning process. So, you know, I think that works for my program.
So, Jill, I have a question. If another Nirvana ended up in your lap and you saw this horse had the potential to go the whole way again, would you do the grind again yourself or?
You know, I can't tell you how often I get asked that question. There's a lot of people that seem to find it ridiculous that I don't compete anymore.
No, I'm not saying that. I just thought it was I was just curious.
Yeah, but, you know, I've had quite a few. I do a lot of sales, and I've had a few that have been pretty cool horses over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, I've always gone the sale route. I mean,
You can say no. You don't have to.
I don't know that it's necessarily a yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I certainly have not come across another Nirvana in my life. I've come across really great horses that I've been happy to sell and make a living and watch them go on. I keep track of almost every horse I've ever sold. And I'm quite good friends with all the owners of all the horses that I've sold. I mean, I really like to be a participant in their lives because it's just cool.
Right.
So, you know, the answer is, I don't know. I mean, I guess you'll know if you see me out there competing. I guess you'll know the answer.
Well, you know, it's okay because every sport, every discipline relies on people like you. I mean, it relies on all the cogs to make all the wheels to make the train go, you know? And
absolutely.
You need all of those things to make it happen. Not everybody is a top-level competitor or should be or wants to be anymore. And, you know, my wife left eventing when she got tired of breaking bones. And it was like, okay, I just don't want to do this anymore, and went into teaching and instructing. Yeah, you know, everybody, especially with eventing, I think, has a reason why they stop competing at a serious level. I'm talking about, you know, why they stop competing at an advanced level, and you know, I think with a lot of eventers is they do get tired of breaking bones. So,
yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate in that I had very few injuries, falls, any of that throughout my career. I think I just sort of phased into a different part of my life, you know.
Right.
I had to make a living. So, you know, I mean, sometimes with owning horses or even if you own part of horses, you know, it's a very expensive venture to get into. I know that in order to be quite successful, you do need sort of multiple rides at this point. Life just sort of for me just kind of progressed into the teaching, and I just really, really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the sales, and just thought of sort of competing myself wasn't really something that totally inspired me, and I'm not really interested in doing things that don't really inspire me. I think
I was going to ask you if you have a website. Where can people find you?
I have not gotten a website up yet, but certainly everybody can find me on Facebook, and I do have a Nirvana Equestrian page.
Okay.
My business is named after, obviously, my horse, and so there's a Nirvana Equestrian page on Facebook, but I will be getting a website up here shortly because, I've just moved back to Tallahassee and getting the business going. And I believe that that website is also nirvanaequestrian.com.
All right. So if anybody's in the Southeast and they want to get a hold of you or take lessons or do any of that, you can find her on Facebook. Just search Nirvana and it comes up. I just did that, actually. And, Jill, thank you so much for joining us. It's so good to get caught up on you and your amazing mare. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Have a great day.
And she lives in one of the most beautiful places you can live, Florida. I liked her for that, too.
The smart people go south, I'm telling you.
That is an amazing mare. When you see, even looking at pictures, and I caught a couple old videos of it, you saw this horse in person because you were there. Were you there for the whole of the eventing, or did you just see which part did you see in Atlanta in 96?
The only part that I got to see ticket-wise, and I was living there and working. I worked in the certain venues and stuff just to make sense, because it descended upon Atlanta, and they just wanted people to get jobs, and I was 18 and hungry, so I started trying to make some money, and the only tickets I bought were the final team show jumping tickets for eventing. I didn't even get to walk the cross country course. Now, since then, I rode the cross country course maybe 5 years after it was over, and it's all overgrown. There's like the jumps that were on cross country are dilapidated and
really
broken. And oh yeah, like they never had another horse event on that cross country course, which is just a shame. A beautiful place to ride. You can just show up there and hop off and ride around.
Was it a park or where was the cross country?
So the cross country, they made the Conyers International Horse Park. And they have little hunter jumper shows there and stuff like that. But across the way from that, it was this green space that they just made into a cross country course. And that is the last time. I mean, I don't know what's going on there now. I haven't been there in 5 years. But the last thing I knew was it was just, you could see where they did the combined driving, those little pillar things, and it was like all overgrown. And the state keeps up the mowing of the general area, I guess, but the jumps were a mess and just falling down and terrible.
They need a foundation.
How sad.
Yeah, they need a foundation like the horse park has.
Right, yeah, they didn't get that. I mean, it was such a weird thing for Atlanta to have horse sports anyway. I just remember that was like, people were like, there's horses in the Olympics? I'm like, ignorant southern Atlanta people that just don't think horses exist because this is a big city. But, you know, it was a big deal to get that all put together, and then it just was over. Just done. No more.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to take a look back at different Olympics too, and see, you know, the afterthought of what people who lived there lived through, you know, and what their thoughts are about it 20 years later, because it's probably a whole lot different than it was at the time.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was just utter craziness. I remember it was like a holiday when we were in school and it got announced that Atlanta was going to get the Olympics, like, you know, 6 years before we actually got it. And it was like such a buzz in the city. It was just such an amazing thing that Atlanta was going to host the Olympics. And I remember the lies that were told to the Olympic Committee. Oh, in July, Atlanta's sunny and 75. Like, that's a lie. In July, it's about 102 and 100% humidity, which they ended up having to deal with, you know, so in the venues. But it was such a cool experience to have, for sure. I think I saw every sport. I tried to go to as many random sports as I could. Like, I remember sitting in a wrestling match. Like, why am I watching wrestling right now? I don't care. It's the Olympics. Just go.
That's right, because you'll never see it again is why.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, before we go into our song here today, I have to tell you to hit refresh on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And I just posted a picture of something Reese Koffler-Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show, found in the wall of her indoor arena yesterday. So
oh
go
God,
take a look.
So cute.
Tell everybody what she found.
She found babies, but just sadly, they're kind of stinky babies. She found baby, what are they called?
Skunks.
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 But they look cute. Baby skunks. They look like tiny little border collies.
They are so cute. She found three baby skunks in the wall. Now, apparently, Mama was around, too. And Mama took off when all the commotion started, and she's hoping Mama doesn't come back looking and is really pissed because she called a rescue place that came and got the baby skunks. My question is, does anybody know the answer? Do baby skunks squirt their odoriferous odors, or are they not old enough to squirt their odoriferous odors at that age?
They must. I don't know. That's a question for her. But I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if she Googled, can I get sprayed by a baby skunk before she went and got the baby skunk.
All right. Another thing to look at, Jennifer, during the song, I want to know, do baby skunks squirt? Because if they do, she got it. Because she has them, actually. She put them in like one of those little wagons. So trying to keep them till the animal people got there, I'm sure. But she did the right thing. She didn't kill them or anything. She sent them off to a rescue place.
And they're not great to have on your property because it has been linked to, you know, the possum
that
and
smelled.
Skunk. EPM is one of the big things, the feces in the pasture, you know, if they eat it. It has been linked to EPM. So very good thing. Rabies, EPM, just a good thing for her to clear them out, plus the fact that I'm sure she has dogs and once you have a dog sprayed by a skunk, you don't want to have it anymore.
Well, Glenn Forrester says they will spray more when frightened. They don't have the control an adult does. So great.
Well, so I do it accidentally.
Skip EPM and all that stuff. I just don't want the stinky beast around my farm and having my eyes water every day when I go out. We had in our old farm, there was area under the front porch that was open, you know, and had the walls around. Typical old farm. It had a front porch that set up off the ground. Well, we had a skunk move in there. And getting that skunk out of there, and amazingly what worked, we didn't trap it because that would have just caused it to spray even more. So what we found out really works was mothballs. Apparently, skunks do not like mothballs. So we spread mothballs all around underneath there, and it left.
No kidding.
So there's your helpful hint for the day. There's a smell that skunks don't like.
I don't know, though, if I'd rather smell skunk or mothball. I think I'd rather smell skunk.
Well, let's take a break. I have a song today in honor of Memorial Day. It's Amazing Grace, and this one's done on the bagpipes, which is always the most haunting way. Get your tissues out just hearing it. But first, we're going to hear our product of the week from Equestrian Collections, and then we're coming back, and guess what day it is, people? It's Friday. Really bad ads, and we got some good ones for you today.
everybody. Coach Jen here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections, and she's here with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. Take it away, Debbie.
Hi, Jen. This week I'm featuring color, you know, and I just, all your listeners who listen to me every month know how I love color. This month, this week, I'm featuring the Horse, Perry, Jumping, Bat, and Dressage Whip. And the reason I'm featuring these is the colors that comes in russet orange, it's bright orange, hot pink, beautiful blue.
Dang, I just went to the webpage. Woohoo!
Yeah, and they, but one thing I wanted to mention about this, the bat, it's not, I know, you know, jumping bats tend to be kind of short. This one is actually longer than some of the jumping bats that I have seen in the past. And so it's almost like almost a crop. It's not quite a crop size, but almost a crop size without the wrist band. So you can actually use this for more than just a little bit of a jumping bat. It's more like it's a little bit longer than a regular bat and a little bit shorter than a crop. And it's got that. It's just really, really cool. As well as the bat, they also have dressage whips. Now, these whips are particularly long as well. I had to have the orange one, of course.
Of course.
So I got one of those. And I noticed it is actually longer than what you usually think of with dressage. So that has some good things, too, especially if you're doing some round pen work but you don't want to do the whole big, you know, lunge whip thing. It's really good for that. Very light. Very, very light and very bright. I'm telling you, if you are in a boarding barn and you have one of these, you're going to know if somebody takes your bat.
They're not only brightly colored, but they're shiny and brightly colored.
Yeah, they're very, very cool. And they're very inexpensive. I mean, it's less than $11 for the dressage whip and less than $8 for the bat.
Great for riding schools and camps because you can tell which one is which one. And the kids are likely to misplace them.
You don't have to put a name on it.
That's right.
If you have an orange bat, it's going to be yours.
An orange bat is an orange bat is an orange bat. Well, you can go to equestriancollections.com, and up there in the great big search bar at the top of the page, you can just put Horse Perry, H-O-R-Z as in zebra, E, Horse, and then space, and then P-E-R-R-Y, and the search will bring right up both the jumping bat and the dressage whip. Well, thanks a bunch, Debbie. We'll see you next time.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Have a terrific weekend this weekend. We are Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. Jamie Jennings is here. Baby Luke is here. Coach Jen is here. The whole gang is here. And we are brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Well, as I said earlier in the show, we will not be here on Monday. We will have the day off, no show at all, but we will be back here live on Tuesday morning. So join us then. It is that time of the week that everybody looks forward to, including us.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, the time of the week when our listeners submit some really bad Craigslist ads usually, and we take a look at them and have a little fun with them. And normally we don't have to do much. They're so bad. But Jennifer is going to tell us what the prizes are for our subjective selection of the best really bad ads today.
Prizes this week are provided by HorseGroomingSolutions.com. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brand that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. And the prize is a tote filled with products from those brands valued at over $100. And also on the prize table today, we have Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for the treatment of all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at HRN headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasturage free from dew poisoning, and that's a job, let me tell you. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you to Dr. Rose's. We appreciate them and Horse Grooming Solutions for providing the prizes today, and we thank everybody who sent in ads, and let's get started. Chelsea sent in the first one, Chelsea Crawley. And Chelsea, thank you for sending this in. The title is Buy Me Horse, $100 in Gold Creek. I love this ad. Hi, I'm Barry, the bay gelding, and my mom has to sell me soon. Hi, I'm Barry. I'm Barry. Let me tell you a little about myself. I'm Barry. Let me redo this one. That's a good idea. Hi, I'm Barry, the bay gelding, and my mom has to sell me soon. Let me tell you a little about myself. I have two white socks, and I like wide-open pastures and a slow trail ride to the sunset. I'm a real old guy who just wants peace, so I ask, please, no high-energy kids, as Baby Luke is screaming in the background. If you want to know more, if you want to know more about me, please call or text my mom. What? Or test my mom. I think I'm supposed to be text there, Barry. My mom will trade for half-decent barrel horse or baby goats or even four-wheelers. My mom will trade me.
Call me.
My mom will trade me for anything. She just wants me the hell out of here.
Barry, I'm looking for a long walk down a short pier. Please, call me.
I'm Barry. There you go.
I'm back. That's awesome. That's a great one. Sienna Sparks sent this one in. Appaloosa gelding between seven. Oh, excuse me. Let me take a deep breath because there is zero punctuation. Never gets old. Appaloosa gelding between 7/8. Greenbroke does great on groundwork, rides good for about 15 minutes, then starts bucking. Will make a great horse. Will I trade for refrigerator in good condition? That's a bad ad. I basically, he's good for about 15 minutes and he starts bucking. And as the horse person in me goes, there's probably a reason. Either you suck or he's in pain. So he starts bucking, but they're going to trade him, their bucking horse, for a refrigerator. So
I love how they always say, great for 15 minutes, then starts bucking. And the next sentence is always, we'll make a great horse for someone else someday.
I swear, someday. I got the next one. Chelsea sent in the next one. Buckskin Shetland Stud, 22 months old, $50. What a deal. This is a pretty little stud colt, out of registered Shetland's Old English type. No papers. With this guy, he had one testicle removed, and we're still waiting for the other to drop. So very much still stud. Halter broke with little groundwork done. I have mares, so needs a new place. Call or text if interested, asking $50, or we'll trade for a filly or a gelding pony. Old is okay. I don't care. Get this little jerk off my property. He's a crypt orchid, by the way. That's actually a thing, and you're going to have to spend about $400 doing the surgery to get the testicle out. I added all that stuff at the end, by the way.
There is that trouble. There's always one that has that hanging there and just will not come out. And unfortunately,
so what is amazing is they geld him and they just take the one. No, what vet does that? Like,
don't they usually go in and get the other one? I mean, they have a way to.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more intrusive of a surgery and more expensive. But why would a vet take one out?
I don't know. He didn't have the spatula handy? I don't know.
I guess not.
Diana sent this one, next one in. Bonded pair registered quarter horses, $1. Well, there's a deal. In Eustis, two registered thoroughbred quarter horses with papers. Think about that.
Wait.
Two registered thoroughbred quarter horses with papers.
It gets better. Look at the next sentence.
Mare and gelding stallion. Bonded pair cannot and will not separate. Must be taken together. Gelding has been ridden but needs work. Mare has potential but also needs work. Good disposition and very sociable. Horses are not free but looking for a fair price, as well as someone who can provide a good home for these beautiful horses. Does bonded mean they're attached? What does bonded mean? Bonded pair.
It means that you take one away, the other goes ape bananas. You know what I mean? Like,
a little separation anxiety.
Separation anxiety.
I thought it was a legal thing that you had with thoroughbred quarter horses.
So bizarre. Sure. That is clearly somebody
like
who doesn't
marriage.
Know it.
Yeah, it's like
common law marriage, right. They're bonded. You can't separate them. They did the divorce, and then there's all the paperwork, and then you got to decide who gets what halter. It's just a mess.
That person's an idiot, whoever wrote that ad, not Diana for sending it in. Diana's smart for sending it in because that was a good one.
Mare and gelding stallion.
Yeah, mare and gelding stallion. Obviously, they're thoroughbred quarter horse, mare and gelding stallion. Hi.
I'm Barry, the gelding stallion.
I have one descended testicle. That's why I'm a gelding stallion. One has been removed. How are you doing? You looking for low fun? All right. Horse. And this is an Echo, New Jersey horse. Read this way. So I'm like moving to the city and like can't afford to keep my stallion. He's like 4 years young, so he's kind of like a baby still. His favorite snack is like carrots and oats. I have a couple bags of each that like can come with this beautiful animal. I like really hope I can find a nice home for him. Please call me and we can like meet for a cup of coffee. I like really want to make sure my horse goes through a wonderful home, and I would like to get to know the family. Also, I would like if I could like come visit him anytime I want, so you can totally text me.
Run! Run!
This is like the best batch of ads. How many prizes do we have to give away? This has been so fun.
Stalker! Stalker alert! Run!
She like totally call me because I'm like totally looking for a good home. Oh my God,
now,
that's a good one.
Now, we did it different again. You read this as a female teenager. I read this as a creepy guy.
Really?
For creepy like, guy, Glenn?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I read, please call me so we can meet for a cup of coffee. I really want to make sure this horse goes to a wonderful home, and I'd like to get to know the family. Also,
yeah, but the guy doesn't say, like, his favorite snack is carrots and oats,
yeah,
and,
true.
Like,
okay,
I'll totally
right.
give you a bag of each.
Right. You're right. And that is the first time we've ever had carrots and oats go along with the horse.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good one, Kelly. That was good.
I'm Barry. I like carrots and oats. How you doing? My turn-ons are carrots, oats, and texting.
Hi, Barry. Hi. I'm Barry. I want to meet you for a cup of coffee because I really want to get to know your family.
I want to know your family. I want to know your parents.
Back on track, that's Jennifer saying, get back to work.
All right, the next one is another trailer. Oh, my God, where you people find these trailers, I don't know. But this was a classic. This has got to be.
Oh, my God.
It's the typical two-horse round-fronted trailer that we get every week. But this one's a classic. I don't even – it's just total what used to be maybe blackish-bluish paint and rust. And it's just one of the saddest-looking trailers we've ever had. It really is. There is a hitch in the front, but apparently it doesn't work because there's a tire underneath the hitch holding the whole thing up. And it looks like there's rope holding the door in the back on that goes around the back, and all the windows are busted out, and it looks like somebody tried to maybe scrape the paint off at one time and were going to paint it and decided not to. But it has perfectly good new reflective tape. Did you notice that?
Gotta be safe.
Let me read this ad because picture the worst trailer you've seen in a long time, and that's this trailer. And here's what it says. Horse trailer works and has loaded two horses in it before. That was back in 1965 when it was built.
Right?
Needs some work to look pretty. It's an understatement of a lifetime. And to last longer, though. Needs new tires eventually.
like
if you have to use it. Yeah. This is a good solid horse trailer that just needs a little work. Still in working condition, it doesn't look pretty on the outside. Asking $500 firm.
Good Lord.
Oh, you have to bring the tire along because if you ever want to take it off the truck, you have to put the tire under the hitch because apparently that doesn't work either. This is
good
just...
Lord. I just don't know how many more of these exist in the world. I guess there's plenty.
I guess it's funny. Jennifer's going to post that on our Facebook page.
Yes, please do. Uta, send in the next one. Registered quarter horse mare or husband? This is going to be good. I have a very nice 3-year-old mare for sale. She is doing wonderful on ground manners. Have been taking it slow to make sure she will excel in her future. She has a nice gait. I hate to see her go, but I need to get down on numbers because my husband is an asshole. If she has to go, then so does he. From my standpoint, she is better than him anyway, but being how he has to make money, I might keep him around. How he makes money, I might keep him around. This mare is far better than him. She is loyal, honest, and does not say hurtful things. She will be there for you when you need her. She will listen without judging, and she has the most understanding ability. If interested, please email me. Wow! Do you think her husband is named Barry? Hi, I'm Barry. I'm an asshole. God, that's a good one, Uta. That is a good one.
There's a woman with some issues. The horse isn't your only problem there, lady. Whew. Linda.
That's awesome.
This is a really good batch of ads today. Linda sent in the following one. Horse for sale in Payson, Utah. 16-year-old gilting for sale. Good strong trail / pleasure horse. He's been hunting for several years. He has good strong hooves and hold shoes for a long time. Has markings that resemble an Appaloosa and also appears have a portion of draft horse blood. He can pack a large man.
Poor thing.
Named Barry. Awesome horse, slightly larger than a typical saddle horse. We let children ride him after he's warmed up by an adult. I have ridden double with an adult and a child. Makes a good pack horse for large men named Barry.
Man, I feel sorry for that horse, man. He's probably got back pain now.
Yes, he does, because apparently all he carries is big, large men. That's all he's allowed to carry.
Wow.
If you're a small woman, you can't have this horse.
Three more to go. Three more to go, and then the baby. He's. I put him outside, out the doors, and he's slowly making his way back to me, so I'm going to read this fast. I'm a good mother. Go outside and play. I know you're not even a year old yet. AQHAFQHR gelding for sale or trade in Louisiana. Trade fell through. I have an AQHA 2003 Golden Palomino gelding. Foundation bred and eligible. I have certified application for his in his papers folder. Very well bred. Not for kids. He needs an advanced rider. He is not a deadhead. He has get up and go. Does well down highways, on the trails, or at parties in the middle of the night if you get a wild hair and feel like riding. $4,500 or trade.
He's a perfect drunk horse. For guys named
Barry. How you doing? You want to go to a party in the middle of the night? My name is Barry, and I'll take you there.
I'll take you home. Oh, this one's good, too. Wendy sent this one in. Horse trailer for sale in Maryland. 16-foot slant with side lamp. Ramp. Side ramp, not a lamp. For carriage. I've got a horse trailer to sell that needs very specific occupants. I won't sugarcoat it because I don't want anyone to, I thought, what I have for the last 5 years, LOL. It is a custom-made bumper pull steel frame aluminum-clad slant load with rear and side ramps. Side ramp is 5 foot wide. Trailer inside is about 7'3" and 7 foot tall. Rubber mats halfway up, drop-down windows on the side. Well, here are the caveats. I am the chump. I'm the chump who gets sold the dangerous ponies and the moldy harnesses because I won't do that to you. Yep, that's what it says. The trailer was built with axles 30 inches from the rear. It is only balanced, i.e. not crushing, with tongue weight if it's fully loaded in the back. The trailer cracked the frame on my old Suburban, maybe because I didn't use the bars initially. So you'll need the Titan hitch. It was built for two heavy horses in the back, and I have small ponies, so it's never worked for me. It broke the $50,000 Suburban.
Good Lord!
There's more about this lovely trailer. The brake crack. I've spent hundreds of dollars having them fixed every year. They never stay fixed. The interior lights never worked. The springs and the ramps are shot because you can't replace them without tearing the trailer apart. If I had thousands to spare and big horses, I would keep it and put barn doors in the back. Rot in the floor and the tack compartment. Windows are gone. Electric jack needs a new switch. The typical lights and light covers missing here and there. Aluminum cladding on the back corners is peeled back a bit where it gets hooked to the curbs. The DR ramp front corner is damaged from where I used to drive away with the ramp down. Long story. Who hasn't done that? The trailer cost almost $19,000 new in 1996, and I can't believe it's worth less than a stock trailer 5 years older, but it seems to be the case. I will sell it for scrap if I can't get an uncomplicated sale. For someone who is dying for a dressing room and ramp and can't live without it, and doesn't have a fix-up issue, it's a steal. This one was honest. This had to be the most honest one around.
Too honest. Too much information.
Everything is wrong with this trailer. Everything. Well, that's it. We got a lot of good ads here. It's going to be hard to decide. We got two prizes to give away. We have Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. So, boy, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. You know, the Mare and Gelding Stallion was a really bad ad. It really was a bad ad.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Hold on. Lucas has hit the mouse and changed the page here. Okay, hold on. I'm getting down to it.
God, there were so many bad ones.
I just can't not give one to Barry. We have to give something to Barry.
All right, Chelsea, we're gonna make sure Chelsea gets something for sure.
Oh my God!
And baby Luke says who?
He says that he thinks that like Kelly Renner with like, oh my God, like I can't afford to keep it done.
Oh yeah. Next, Eric's notes.
Yes.
All right. Kelly Renner and Chelsea Crowley are the winners this week. We'll make sure that you get your prizes. Thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like Baby Luke is done with the show.
We have a poopy diaper. Yay.
And ready for a long weekend. So we're going to call it a weekend. We'll be back here on Tuesday, everybody. Thank you so much. If you want to send ads in, send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. Thank you so much to everybody who sent them in. And what's your new closing? Do you remember it?
I don't know. Spay, neuter, geld, people, neuter that are your weird cousins or whatever. Yeah. Let's do it.
You got it. Have a Memorial Day. Have a great long weekend.
Get some rest there, Jamie. Enjoy that relaxing long weekend.
Yeah, boy.
Tylenol PM.